This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathiran kathira. The second thing, in this context of focusing on ourselves, is to ask this question and say, what do I know about the life of Rasulullah? Now, this is an extremely important thing to do, which is, may Allah have mercy on us, which is usually ignored. And I don't say that it's ignored deliberately, because inshallah, that is not true. The Muslims love Rasulullah. But it is just ignored because of lack of understanding of the importance of learning about the seerah. The seerah of Rasulullah is the living Quran, is the manifestation of the Quran in real life. It is the living tafsir of the Quran. And I'm not saying this out of my love for him. This is what Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha said. This is the answer she gave somebody who asked her and said, can you tell us something about the life of Rasulullah? She said, don't you read the Quran? He said, yes, I read the Quran. He said, that was his life. He was the living Quran. Now, what do we know about that? What do we know about his life? That is why this is another marker. One marker I said yesterday, which is, how much Quran do I know? The second marker is, what do I know and how much do I know about the life of Rasulullah? Once again, like I mentioned, the method of doing it with the Quran al-Karim is ask yourself, what do I know now? And then start reading. And then test yourself after a month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, 1 year. What do I know? Which is more than what I started with. There is no shortage of material. Alhamdulillah, there are many, many books and videos and so forth about the seerah. For those who read Urdu, the very best is Siratul Nabi by Sayyid Suleiman Nadvi Rahmatullah Ali. Which is the best in Urdu, because it is also the best because the way that seerah has been written, and the waqiyat, the stories of the seerah, they have followed a very strict code of reference as they do for hadith. So the rigor of the research, the rigor of the program of how they did that, this is as strict as they do for hadith. So therefore, it's a very authentic, mashallah, very, very beautiful book. So those who read Urdu. There is an English translation of that as well. So you could try that. Or otherwise, there are many others. For beginners, there is this very famous book called The Life of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from the Earliest Sources by Martin Lings, L-I-N-G-S. Mashallah, was a great Muslim scholar. And he wrote this book, very simple, very easily readable. There is in Arabic and then English translation also of that, which is Ar-Rahiqul Maktoum, The Secret Nectar, Ar-Rahiqul Maktoum, by Sheikh Mubarak Puri, Rahmatullah Alayhi. So there are many books of seerah. So please make sure that you read. You must know about the life of Rasulullah. And it must be very familiar to us. It doesn't need to be humming and hawing and searching for answers if somebody asks a question. So you must know this. And the purpose both of reading the Quran and reading the Seerah of Rasulullah is to practice that in our lives. This is very critical and very important to practice in our lives. How can we practice the Seerah in our lives? How can we practice the Quran in our lives? Because we will not be asked, what did you know? We will be asked, what did you do? We will not be asked, what do you know? We will be asked, what did you do? And therefore, whatever we know must be translated into action. And that's our responsibility. So make sure that we do that. Pick one thing at a time. As I have said earlier as well, the power of metrics. Pick one thing at a time. Then monitor that and say, how am I doing it? For example, how do I deal with anger? Now we know how Rasulullah dealt with anger. He didn't lose his temper. He didn't curse anybody. He didn't rave and rant. You could see the effect of anger on him. So you can't say he never felt anger. Of course he felt anger. Anger is a human emotion like anything else. And he was a human being, so he felt anger. Question is, what did he do with it? So when somebody says, don't get angry, that's impossible not to get angry. And also, depending on what you're getting angry about, getting angry is a sign that you have intelligence, that you are a person of principle. You should get angry. In certain cases, if you're not getting angry, something is wrong with you. The question is, what do you do with that anger? Do you express it in a dysfunctional, in a destructive way, or do you express it in a functional and constructive way? And that's what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam always did. He expressed his anger, he expressed his disapproval in a very constructive manner. We have the famous story of in the Battle of Hunayn, as the army was proceeding, there was a man called Abu Ma'dura who made fun of Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu when he was calling the Adhar. And we know this whole story. I've mentioned this, narrated this in detail several times. So this Abu Ma'dura was the gang leader. There were few of the newly converted Quraysh youth who were making fun of Sayyidina Bilal and making racist comments and so on. Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu was, I've seen him, he was a black person. And they had these Quraysh. They were Arabs and they had this, this whole anti-black kind of feeling. They were racist in that way. So they were making these comments. So this was reported to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And this is now, they were all part of the army. So this army was going towards Taif with the intention of besieging Taif. And so any behavior in the army which goes against against the leadership of the army, and say Sayyidina Bilal was one of the leaders, would be seen as mutiny, would be seen as, insubordination, and something which could attract very, very severe punishment. So when the matter was reported, Abu Sallam, he summoned them. So they were brought to him. Obviously, Sayyidina Rasulullah was angry. He would have been angry, knowing what had happened. But what did he do? He didn't reprimand them. He didn't curse them out. He didn't, order them to be lashed or whatever. He called them. They came to him. He told them to sit down. They sat down in front of him. Then he said, who is your leader? Who was the one who was, leading this whole action? So they pointed to Mahadura. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to him, come close. So he came closer to him. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to him, shall I teach you how to make the adhan? And Abu Mahadura said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, please teach me. And Rasulullah ﷺ taught him how to make the adhar. Now, the way that Rasulullah ﷺ taught Abu Ma'dura radiallahu anhu was the way that Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi has recorded. And the Shawafi, when they call the adhan, they do that in that way, which is that Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah and ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Normally in the Adhan, we say it twice. In the way Rasulullah SAW taught them, his taught Abu Mahdura was to say it four times. So, two times loudly and two times softly. So, he taught him the Adhan. Now, remember, this is a correction of a grave mistake and misdemeanor that the man had done. But see the effect of that. Now, when he finished and Abu Mahdura knew the Adhan, Abu Mahdura says to Mr. Sallam, he said, Ya Rasulullah, I have a request. Mr. Sallam says, what is it? He says, Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu is your muazzin in Medina. Make me your muazzin in Makkah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you are my muazzin in Makkah. They say that Abu Mahdura, Allah gave him a very long life. And Abu Mahdura, from that day when he got back to Makkah, after that, they say that he would come into the haram five times a day. He would make tawaf of the Kaaba, he would pray two rakat of salah, and then he would call the adhan. And he did that his entire life. Five times a day, every single day, he did that his entire life till he died. Now imagine, how did that happen? How did this man, who started off as somebody who was mocking Sayyidina Bilal, become such a devout Muslim and so completely concentrated and dedicated to Islam that he spent his whole life calling adhan? By the way, Rasulullah ﷺ handled his own anger. By the way, Rasulullah ﷺ reprimanded the man. This was a reprimand. Nabi ﷺ was not praising him. He didn't say, oh, you did a great thing. No. This was a reprimand. But the way the reprimand was given was so beautiful that it completely transformed the man's life. That is the question. That is the power of learning the seerah. Because now when we know this story of the seerah, then we know what to do when somebody does something stupid and makes us angry. Are we going to retaliate? Are we going to do something even more stupid than that person did? If that person was cursing, are we going to use worse curse words? Or are we going to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So that is the second part. What do I know about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What did I know before? What did I know before? What did I know? What do I do now? And all this. And then, so what will I do to change? So how will I learn more? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to follow this beautiful example that He sent us, the example of His Habib, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa sallallahu ala nabi al-kareem, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahimin, wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.